and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of light, the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober. There's that word again, verse 6 and verse 8, be sober. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You may be seated. I would like to continue tonight speaking to you on the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In this passage of Scripture, Paul makes it very clear that as Christians, we are not to be taken by surprise by the coming of the Lord. The world will not be expecting Him. They are in the darkness. They do not realize how close we are to the coming of Jesus. Everybody that's lost is deceived. I mean that. Everybody that's lost is deceived. They're in darkness. The Bible says the God of this world hath blinded their eyes, lest they should see this blessed gospel of Jesus Christ. Everybody's deceived that's lost. They're not thinking right. And it's only when Christ comes into our heart, transforms our way of thinking, that we begin to think in the right manner. We begin to see things in the right light. We begin to see things as they really are. We are children of the day, and we're not the children of the night. And one thing that happens to us when we get saved is we fall in love with Jesus. And we are attached to Him. My wife testified, a priest, perhaps you heard it on the radio this morning. Sister Sarah sang it on the radio this morning. But I preached that message on the radio this morning, apprehended by Jesus. Paul said that's the way he described being saved. Christ apprehended him. On that Damascus Road, he was arrested, seized upon by Jesus Christ on that Damascus Road. Fell in love with Jesus. Jesus won his heart. He never looked back. He followed Jesus the rest of his life and never looked back. So when we come to Jesus and fall in love with Jesus, brother, there's something about it. When we hear about his second coming, we want to see him. I remember when I was just a young Christian, teenage boy, God had saved me and sanctified me and filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I was seeking the face of God. I know young people can live for God because I've been there. I know they can serve God in the public schools and wherever they are, that God's grace is sufficient for them because I've been there. And I know that you got to pray to serve God, and you got to seek the face of God. You got to really mean business with God. When I was just a young man, I had temptations like other young people, but I stayed before God, seeking the face of the Lord, determined to make it all the way through. But I remember, you know, back in those days, we had prayer meetings. The young people sometimes would get together and have prayer meetings. The young people in our area would get together and have prayer meetings. I remember going over to Brother Beecham's house, and Harold was saved at that time. That was his youngest son. And we, some of us young men met over there and went out in the woods and held a prayer meeting together. We didn't just get together and party. We got together and prayed. And I remember some of the young men in Tocoa, Georgia. We lived in Tocoa, Georgia. And I had a place to pray on the side of the mountain above Tocoa Falls. And I took some of the young men with me from the camp meeting. We went up on that mountain, got down in my prayer place, and sought the face of God on the side of that mountain. And it was a place that I frequented during school when I'd go on my lunch break. My lunch break was maybe a 45, 50-minute lunch break. And many, many days I'd forget about eating, just go up on that mountain, get on the side of that hill and seek the face of God. And God would bless my soul. I'm telling you, I shed tears on that mountain, read and studied my Bible, and God blessed my soul on the side of that mountain. Still precious to me right now. Think about those wonderful times. I'm telling you, Jesus had a hold of my heart. Praise God. I would pray at school, come home and seek God. If there was a meeting going on somewhere, I wanted to get in the car and go and be in that revival meeting. God had a hold of my heart. And He directed my thoughts to the second coming of the Lord. I didn't know much about it, didn't have a clear theology about it, and probably don't have a very clear theology right now. But I'm telling you that as a young man, God impressed upon me the preciousness of the coming of the Lord. And sometimes I'd just go outside and I'd just look up in the heavens. And in my heart, I'd be saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Something inside of me drawed me to Jesus and made me long for the coming of the Son of God. I was a pilgrim and a stranger. You talk about being a pilgrim and a stranger, brother. In a public school, I was a pilgrim and a stranger. I stood out like a sore thumb. Took my Bible to school with me every day. My Bible sat on top of my science book, math book, and every other book. And I guess they thought I was the biggest weirdo in that school, and there were some weirdos there. But they probably thought I was the biggest weirdo in that school. But it didn't matter to me, brother. Jesus was more precious to me than the approval of my classmates. Jesus was more precious to me than having popularity in school. You know, I lived for God in that school. When it came time to graduate and handed out the accolades, you know, they'd vote you this and you'd vote you that. My classmates voted me the Citizenship Award. This was my classmates and my teachers voted me the Citizenship Award. I didn't know what it was all about. Somebody had to explain it to me. But you know, they were watching my life. They had their eye on me. I didn't realize it, that they were watching me. I did not know. I didn't realize what my life was doing, the effect it was having. Sometimes, brother, the devil tells us you're not having any effect. Sometimes the devil tells us you're doing nothing. But somebody's watching you. Somebody's got their eye on you. You're exerting an influence for Jesus Christ. I was a pilgrim and a stranger, stood out like a sore thumb. And my heart was desperate for God. I had to have God. It wasn't a matter of deciding whether or not to pray. I had to pray. I had to seek the face of God. I couldn't make it in that environment without the help of God. I had to be on my knees. I had to be in the Word of God. I sought the face of the Lord diligently. I had to go to church. I'm telling you, brother, if you're in the world and you're not of the world and you're living like you ought to live as a Christian, you're going to need the house of God. Oh, yeah, you're going to need the house of God. You're going to need the fellowship of God's people. You're going to need the Word of God. You're going to need the Spirit of God. You're going to need to pray. It's not going to be a matter of shall I go to the house of God or not. It's I've got to go to the house of God. It's not a matter of whether or not I'm going to pray. I've got to pray. It's not a matter of whether or not I'll study my Bible. I've got to study my Bible. When you're living for Jesus and you're in an unfriendly world and you're standing out like a sore thumb and the world's looking at you like a weirdo, brother, you've got to have God. I had to have God. I saw Him. He was precious to me. And all my mind was directed toward the second coming of the Lord. It wasn't something I dreaded. It was something I looked forward to. It was something that I thought about with fondness. And it was something that in my heart there was a hope of the coming of the Lord. I knew that when Jesus came, things would be different. I knew that when Jesus came, hallelujah, that would be deliverance. I knew that when Jesus came, praise God, the tables would be turned when Jesus came. I'd look up at the skies and just think in my mind, maybe this will be the day that Jesus will come back. So that in the heart of the Christian, there is a desire for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said for us to be sober-minded. We are children of the day. We're to think soberly. Our mind is to be transformed. You see, brother, life is more than just a jolly good time. Life is more than just having a big fun, big party. Life is about a serious business. We're living for Jesus, and we're to be sober-minded, and we're to think soberly in our mind. And God wants us to think about things that are critical to our spiritual life, and the coming of the Lord is critical to our spiritual lives. In this passage of Scripture that I read to you, I'm just going to hit some highlights here. I could be here a long time, and you could too, but you know, I preached a long time this morning, I guess, and so I'll try to let you off a little bit early tonight, maybe. But just hitting some highlights here. Look at this passage of Scripture. You see, first of all, he's dealing, this passage I read to you is on both ends of it. There's the mention of the coming of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 deals with it extensively. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the day of the Lord. And right in the last couple of verses that I read there, sanctify them. He talks about preserving them blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the coming of the Lord is the topic. It's the context of this passage of Scripture. And in the context of the coming of the Lord, he delineates for us some of the activities and the character of those people who are preparing for the coming of the Lord. And first of all, he deals with our relationships in the house of God. And the first relationship in the house of God that he deals with is your relationship with the man of God that God has put over you. He said, what did he say? Know them which labor among you and hold them in high esteem, he said. You see, so that the first relationship he deals with is the relationship between you and that man of God that God has appointed to minister to you the Word of God. I told you this morning, I didn't get to everything I wanted to this morning, but I told you this morning that in the assembly of God's people, we assemble together not just so that we can say we are counted, our nose is counted, but we come together in the house of God because God has a reason for us being here. We are here to help one another get ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to exhort one another and so much the more as you see that day approaching. So we are here to help one another get ready for that wonderful day that we are looking forward to. In order for that to be true, somebody's got to have something to say. Somebody's got to have an ear for what God once said. Somebody's got to be in touch with God to help that congregation get ready for the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there must not only be somebody who's ready to say something, but there's got to be somebody that's ready to hear what's being said. You remember what Paul told Timothy? He said, I charge thee therefore before God, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his coming and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but shall heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall listen to fables. I didn't get that just right, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, we have reached that time, brother. We are here. We are there. When people are saying, prophesying to us smooth things. In Israel, in the Old Testament, the prophet said concerning Judah, he said, the prophets prophesy falsely, and my people love to have it so. I'm telling you, it's that way. In the Pentecostal movement in this country, God have mercy upon us and help us to realize that we need somebody listening to God to tell us the mind of God, and we got to have somebody to hear what God's got to say. Oh, yeah, Lord, the children sang this morning, open mine eyes that I might see Jesus. Open my ears to hear what Jesus has to say.
When God sent a message to the seven churches in Asia Minor in the book of Revelation, He said to every one of them, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church." God's got something to say to us, brother and sister. I said, God's got something to say to us. We come together because God is trying to get a people ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can see that there are people in this church that are not taking this seriously. I can see in the American church scene that there are people not taking this seriously. Oh yes, I said to you this morning, God's coming after a people unblameable in holiness. He's not coming for a people that's just playing religion. Coming out to a church, glorious, without spot, without wrinkle. You're not going to be a glorious church unless you're a praying church. You're not going to be a glorious church unless you're a people that's a self-sacrificing people. You're not going to be a glorious church unless you're a church that's a disciplined people. You've got to seek the face of God. You've got to deny yourself. You've got to take up your cross and follow the Lord. I'm telling you, you've got to seek the power of God in your life. And God wants a glorious church. He's not coming for a defeated church. He's not coming for a church that's got their lap in Delilah's lap, their head in Delilah's lap. He's not coming for a church that's in love with the world. He's coming for a church that's in love with Jesus. He's coming for a church that's got their eyes on eternity. He's coming for a church that's seeking the face of God. Hey, brother, I don't know. I might preach longer than I thought I would. I'm a feeling it in my soul tonight. God wants to get a people ready for the coming of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, it matters what you think of me. I ain't nobody. I ain't nothing. But I've been appointed by heaven to a position. That's something. I ain't nothing. But that's something. That God has appointed me to a position in this church right here. You know, there have been times, y'all didn't get mad at me. There have been times that I'd have thought maybe I'd have been better off. Maybe it would have pleased everybody else if I'd have been somewhere else. And God wouldn't let me go nowhere. And God said, "You're going to stay right here." And so I said, "Lord, I'll just stay right here till you give me permission to go somewhere else." So I'm still here. Appointed by God. Be here. Right here. That's why I'm here. Because I'm appointed by God. So even though I'm nothing, even though I don't have anything to brag about and boast about, God appointed me. And when God appointed me to be the pastor of this church, He appointed you to be in this church. Listen now, if God's not appointed you to be here, go somewhere else, please. Because you ain't going to be happy out of the will of God. And probably none of the rest of us going to be happy if you ain't. You know, that's just the way I feel about it. Hallelujah. If you're not in the will of God, this ain't the place for you. Praise God. But if God sent you here, hey, if God said, "This is where I want you to be. This is the man I've appointed to preach in this place," then you have got an obligation to hear what I've got to say. Oh, yeah. Because God put me where I'm at. So I don't like what you have to say. Well, tell God about it. Tell God, give that preacher something else to say, Lord. I'm trying to hear what He's got to say. So I can tell you. And He said, "Know them which labor among you. If I'm a crook, leave. Go somewhere else. You don't need to be listening to a crook." Yeah. If I ain't saved, you ain't got no business being here listening to me preach. if I'm not living in obedience to God, if I'm not a praying man, if I'm not a man of the Word, leave. Run. I'm telling you to. Go. Run somewhere else. You don't need to be here. Because your soul's too critical. I'm telling you, your soul's too critical. And God wants to help us because this relationship is critical, brother. I'm telling you, the relationship between a man of God and his congregation is critical. And God wants me to love you so good, I'll tell you the truth. God wants me to love you so good, I'd suffer to see you saved. God wants me to love you. God wants you to love me and hear what I've got to say when I've been listening to God. Ain't that right? Well, I know I ain't going to get nowhere tonight. I done used up a whole lot of my time right here. But he talks about the relationship between you too. All of you. Be at peace one with another. Do you think you're going to be ready for the coming of the Lord and you're fighting and fussing and quarreling among yourselves? Forget it. You're not going to be ready. He tells us in the book of James, he says, brethren, grudge not one against another, because the judge standeth at the door, he said. Be careful how you treat one another. Be careful the attitudes you adopt toward one another. We're headed somewhere, children. I said we're headed somewhere. The coming of the Lord is upon us. Be at peace one with another. He talks about your spiritual life. He says, rejoice evermore. Hallelujah. We're talking about the coming of the Lord. We're talking about being ready when Jesus comes. Rejoice. When you go to church. Rejoice when you're on the mountain. Rejoice when the road is smooth. Rejoice evermore. How in the world can you rejoice evermore? How can you rejoice when you're not on top of the world and the world's on top of you? How can you rejoice when bad news comes to you? How can you rejoice when you haven't seen your prayers answered? How can you rejoice when the battle is raging about you and you feel the oppression of the enemy? How can you rejoice? I'll tell you how you can rejoice. If you just remember, my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus said, don't rejoice because the devils are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written down in heaven. Praise God. Brother, I'm telling you, the devil may howl and come against us with his fury, but if our name is written in heaven, we belong to the realm from which he fell. We can rejoice. We have the victory in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. Rejoice evermore. We can rejoice in this fact. Brother Steve, we can rejoice in this fact. In Romans 8:28, the Bible says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. I'm telling you, it don't matter what comes to us. God's got His hand on us, and He's able to work all things for our good. Hallelujah, brother. We can rejoice in the valleys of our life, knowing our life is in the hands of God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Then he went on to say, pray without ceasing. Don't ever quit praying. Brother, this theme runs throughout the Scriptures concerning the coming of the Lord. Watch and pray. Pray without ceasing. This is the mark of a people who are looking for their bridegroom. Pray without ceasing. Watch and pray. Brother, if the devil wants to do anything to you, he wants to rob you of your prayer time. Oh yes, if he can destroy your prayer life, if he can get you independent of God, if he can get you thinking you can make it without Him, if he can get you thinking that you don't need His help, if he can get you, rob you of your time with God, he'll destroy your spiritual life. He'll make you disqualified for the coming of the Lord. But this, my brother, is the mark of the people who love the coming of the Lord. They are seeking the face of God, praying without ceasing. And he said, in all things, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hey, brother and sister, I'm telling you, this is the will of God for you. Did you hear the scripture? This is the will of God for you, that in everything you give thanks. God wants us to be a thanksgiving people. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. And not just when we come to church. You know, a lot of times our prayers are just merely give me, give me. But the Bible says to let your requests be made known to the God with thanksgiving, he says. God wants us to be a thankful people. Hey, when things are going bad for you, I'll tell you what, do. Just start thanking God for his goodness to you. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the help of God in the past. Thank God for what he's done for you. I'm telling you, brother, you will be an overcomer. The devil will be defeated if you'll give thanks to God for his goodness to you. For salvation through the blood of Christ. Am I preaching a long time? Oh, the clock's against me. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then he deals with our worship. He says, despise. Quench not the spirit, brother. That's what he said. We're talking about being ready for the coming of the Lord. He deals with our worship. Quench not the spirit. That literally says, in the original language, just stop putting out the spirit's fire. I'm telling you, brother, if you quench the Spirit in your heart and quench the Spirit in your life and grieve the Holy Spirit of God, listen, this church will never do anything without the working and power of the Spirit of God. Nobody will ever see anything done for God unless God's Spirit is working in our midst. We must not grieve the Spirit of God. We must have the working of the Spirit of God in our midst. Stop putting out the Spirit's fire, he says. Talking about the worship of the people of God. The people that are looking for the coming of the Lord. We welcome the working of the Spirit of God. We've got to have the working of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I feel him here tonight. I didn't know I was going to preach like this. Then he goes on to say, despise not prophesying. Don't turn up your nose when the Spirit of God is speaking. Ah, despise not prophesying. Whether it be the anointed preacher of the gospel, or whether it be the exercise of the gift of prophesying in the midst of the people of God, despise not prophesying. And then he goes on to talk about the worship of the people of God like this. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. You're not to be deceived by just swallowing everything that comes along. You have the right, in the name of Jesus and by the word of God, to prove all things. Hey, a man who really belongs to God, who is really being exercised by God, don't mind people checking him out. You check a man out and he gets mad about it, something wrong with him. It don't matter to me. Check my record. Ask my wife what kind of husband I am. Go ask my children, how do I behave at home? They can tell you. I don't care. Go on. Do it. You ought to. You got suspicions. You really should. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Brother, if you ever needed discernment, you need it now. Because the Lord told us that just before the coming of the Lord, it'd be a time of deception. And if you ever needed discernment, you need it now. Hold fast to that which is good, but prove all things. Don't despise prophesying, but you don't have to swallow everything that happens as being of God. No, no, no. And then, did he say this? What's that next verse say? You looking at it, Brother Mike? Abstain from all appearance of evil. That literally says, abstain from every form of evil. Stay away from it. What did he say? As pilgrims and strangers, abstain from fleshly lust that war against the soul.
as pilgrims and strangers, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. He said, abstain from all appearance of evil, every form of evil. You can't do that and watch television. You just can't do that. You can't do that and go to the movies. You can't do that and listen to rock and roll music. You can't do that and listen to country and western music. You just can't do it. We're talking about getting ready for the coming of the Lord, children. Being sober-minded. Being committed to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Looking for His coming. Is there something inside of you that makes the coming of the Lord precious to you? That next verse says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, entirely. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. I preached to you about that this morning. But I didn't tell you about this next verse. Faithful is He that calleth you. Finish that for me. Who also, He will do it. What's He going to do? He's going to sanctify you wholly. He's going to preserve you blameless unto the coming of the Lord. That is, everybody who will yield to His working, He is going to do it. He ain't going to let you by. Because He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. He won't let you by. So if you belong to Him, and your heart is with Him, He ain't going to let you by. He's going to sanctify you holy. And He's going to get you ready for that glorious day, the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm excited about it. I don't know the day, and I don't know the hour, but I'm still looking. Hallelujah. I'm still watching. I'm still waiting for that glorious day. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise God. Our day of deliverance is at hand, children. When you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. Sister Judy, if you will, go to the piano. I'd like for us to pray. I've preached to you about the coming of the Lord today both times. And I hope that the Lord has used me to make an impression upon your mind. Focus your attention on this wonderful event. Because I'm telling you, the devil would like to get your mind off of it. And got to get your attention off of it. And make you push it off somewhere in the future. And just forget about it and go about your business. You know, so that it's just business as usual in your life. God don't want it to be business as usual. He wants you looking for that wonderful, glorious day and making preparation for it. And I didn't get to this, but I'll tell you this before we pray. Part of that, this scripture that I just read to you, is tied in with the scripture I read this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, where He said that we're to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, so that the love of God in us is to be demonstrated within the body and toward those outside the body. And that love is demonstrated most clearly by the burden for the souls of those without Jesus. That's where it's demonstrated most clearly. You know, when you're burdened for souls, when you really desire to see men saved, you will not mistreat that man. You won't do anything to hinder your testimony to that man that's lost and needs the help of God. You'll pay your debts. Pay them on time. Or else get rid of something so you won't have that debt. Because you love souls. And you're going to do what it takes to demonstrate the love of God for souls. This is the man that's getting ready for that glorious day. Praise God. I'd like for us to stand together tonight. Maybe you don't need to pray for yourself, but there's somebody needs your prayers.